Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Please, if you are minded to find a pew or a seat. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. Good to see you.
And you. Special welcome to John here. He's a remarkable man. He's produced a seventh grandson. Great grandson. I approve of the name. Did you say it was Judah?
Judah.
Nations. Judah David Nations.
Let me give some notices. More notices. So next weekend, it's come upon us, the church weekend. So for those of you who are coming, we're doing the book of Colossians. So if you get a chance, please have a read through before the weekend. If you usually come here at 11 o'clock and you're not coming to the church weekend, I would encourage you to come at 9 o'clock. I've got one of my colleagues, Father Reverend McLaughlin, speaking next Sunday at 9 o'clock, so please come at 9 o'clock. He's a lovely man. And if you want to give to the church, you don't have to, but please consider giving your tax as well. That always helps. And if you'd like to do that, there's the yellow envelopes at the back of church. So, and my thanks to those of you involved in the carnival yesterday. We thank you, everyone. We raised £418.60 for WaterAid. Well done, everyone. And yesterday we were certainly aware of our need for water, weren't we? It was pretty hot. Yes, Anna's going to give a notice as well.
Where is that my year or 9 months as deacon is coming to an end when I'm being priested at the cathedral on Saturday next Saturday, the 5th of July at 10:30. We'd love to see you there. It is a ticketed event, so if you're interested in wanting to come and see what the service is about, you're welcome. It will also be live streamed on the cathedral website, but what we are having afterwards is a bit of a bean feast with baked potatoes and fillings, and we would love you to join us to celebrate that. If you are going to do so, can you please sign up and for the sake of the cook, indicate whether you want to have chili, cheese or beans, or cheese and beans. This will be at the back of the church afterwards. If you're not sure what it's all about, please grab me afterwards and I can say more about it. Also on the Sunday at 4 p.m. at St. Clement's Church in Castle Bromwich, there is a production of the most recent Roger Jones musical, Zac, the story of Zacchaeus. And we'd love to see you there. That's a production by the CMM Choir, which Sue and I are part of. And again, grab me or Sue afterwards if you want to find out more about it. Thank you, Alan.
And I hope Alan is free on the Sunday morning, because he will be presiding at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock for his first time. Let me remind you of a simple truth now. You are in the presence of God this morning. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's in you if you're born again, and he's around you. Let me pray. Father God, we gather to worship you. We gather to honour your holy name, to give you the glory. We pray you help us to do this, because we want to do it well in the spirit and in the truth. Amen.
Amen.
And if you're fairly new or new to this church, you are so, so welcome. And let's say this prayer together. Father, lead us and guide us as we grow together in your family. May our church show your love to new friends, and may more hearts be full of your love. Amen. Says this in one of the Psalms, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. Let's stand to worship his holy name. Amen.
We're looking at the evidence for the resurrection.
Oh.
the evidence. There's a bit of a quiz. And there will be then a bit of a discussion about the pros, the evidence for, the evidence against, if there is any, that is, the resurrection.
And Sasha, I'm not going to pick on her, she's working with the young ones for the first time today, but Sasha's going to be talking about how Jacob steals Esau's blessing, which is a bit heavy for five-year-olds, isn't it? But it's the next story in the Bible they read. So we're going to pray for Alan and Sasha and for the children. Father God, I do pray for Alan and Sasha as they lead our children and young people. And we pray for our children and young people that they would have a blessed time. We pray you watch over them this morning and throughout these informative years, Lord. Keep them from evil. Keep them from Satan and the world, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Have a great time, everyone. Come to a time of confession, let me remind you of what we know. Jesus died for our sins so that we don't have to. He has equipped us with the Holy Spirit to live well, that we are no longer enslaved to sins. But if you're like me, despite all that being true, you still sin from time to time. So I'm just going to give you a moment to make your quiet confession. Father God, I thank you that you've heard my confession and those of all who sit in this church this morning. And Father, I thank you that you hear it and we know the words over us. My son, my daughter, my brother, my sister, you are forgiven. Your sins are removed from you. Thank you. And Father, we do pray that you would help us and equip us to live better in the power of the Holy Spirit from this day forward. Amen.
Amen.
So having repented of the sin that separates us from God, let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, he was raised to life on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. Afterwards he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Would you please stand?
You have the power to
This morning's reading is taken from Galatians chapter 3 to start at verse 23. But before the time for faith came, the law kept us all locked up as prisoners until this coming faith should be revealed. And so the law was in charge of us all until Christ came, in order that then we might be put right with God through faith. Now that time for faith is here, the law is no longer in charge of us. It is through faith that all of you are God's children in union with Christ Jesus. You were baptized into union with Christ, and now you are clothed, so to speak, with the life of Christ himself. So there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles, between slaves and free people, between men and women. You are all one in union with Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are the descendants of Abraham and will receive what God has promised. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I did learn a joke while I was away, but very wisely I shared it with Judith, who told me it would not be appropriate. So, yeah. So I'm going to dive straight into a prayer. Father, I do pray you bless our time together now. We thank you, Lord, that you're so present and that you're so marvellous and so loving and so gracious. Amen. So I've been reflecting on the chapter from Galatians, but I've been reading around it as well, and it's quite, on one level it's quite a simple epistle, but on another level it's quite complicated. Paul wrote this letter in around 49 AD, maybe slightly into the 50s, and he wrote it to defend the true gospel in the face of a false gospel. The same false gospel is preached today. Back then, it was taught by the Judaizers, and they were teaching that new Christians should follow the law, follow the Jewish law. So, for example, the visible, obvious example of this would be that new converts, male converts, that were taught they should be circumcised. In chapter 2, Paul writes, "We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." And he makes that point multiple times. In chapter 3, he says, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it's written," this is the book of Deuteronomy, "everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed." Put your hand up if you can keep the law completely. And I'm certainly not going to put my hand up. But Jesus Christ kept it completely, didn't he? And we praise God for that. You know, the false gospel is around today. I think it's in every other religion. I know it's in Islam. They have to do good works. I know it's amongst Jehovah's Witnesses, they have to do good works, that's why they ring your doorbell. And it's sometimes been in the Christian church over the last 2,000 years. And it's doubtless in some Christian churches today. But the true gospel teaches that you are saved by faith alone. And that's a central theme of this letter. Martin Luther, who you may have heard of, played a key role in the Reformation. didn't know this till I researched, but he called the book of Galatians, he called it my epistle. And it's a book he turned to time and time again, because it teaches that justification comes through faith in Jesus Christ. That's its central message. I want to talk about the promise now, which I've really wrestled with. So these are my thoughts on the promise. Our reading concludes by saying that if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And God made Abraham a promise. He made him several, but taking a small extract from Genesis, he said, look to Abraham, look at the sky and count the stars, if you're able to count them. Then he said to them, your offspring will be that numerous. In the next verse we read, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him righteousness. God makes Abraham a promise. Abraham believes it, and God says in response, you are righteous, you are holy, you are saved, you belong to the kingdom of heaven. Not because of good works, not because he obeyed the law had not even been written then. That would be 400 years later with Moses. Abraham knew salvation by faith alone. Reflecting more on the promise, Paul writes in chapter 3 of Galatians, the purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. Through faith today, we receive the Holy Spirit. Through faith today, we know salvation. The promise, or the covenant, sometimes we might say covenant, is this. This is my reflection. The cross stands above everything, stands above it all, stands above all time. And through faith in God, through faith in Jesus Christ, whether you're Abraham, whether you're Noah, whether you're Alan sitting over there, you are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. I want to say something about the law now. Because we're saved by faith, Paul naturally asks, why was the law given then? And he tells us in verse 19, he says it was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. Come back to the transgressions in a moment. But the law was given until. The law was not meant to be permanent. It was given until Jesus entered the world. When Paul talks about seed here, it's clearly a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably had Genesis chapter 2, chapter 22 in mind. And he says this to Abraham, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Offspring here, in the singular, is talking about an individual. It's talking about one person. It's talking about Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, he says, all nations on earth will be blessed. And we are blessed to live in such a time, aren't we? Because we know it's true for our nation, for ourselves, and all nations. So the law was added until Jesus appeared. But what was its purpose? Well, he says it was added because of transgressions. And that can be understood in two ways. The first way, that the law was given to restrain transgressions. Elsewhere, Paul says it was given as a guardian until Christ came. And you can see how there's truth in that, can't you? Knowing what is right and wrong, it equips us to live better, to do what is right. But this is probably the stronger point. The law was given to make transgressions known. And I think that's the point Paul has in mind. Elsewhere, he says in Romans, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. The point is this. Sin was in the world before the law came along, a long time before. But sin was not always known as such. The law reveals sin as sin. So we could argue that law turns sin into transgression, transgression of the law. I think what the law, the function the law performs is this. It makes clear our need of a saviour, Jesus Christ. Because it brings to the fore, it brings, makes us aware of how sinful we are. The law is temporary until the seed to whom the promise referred comes, Jesus Christ. It's inferior, which is perhaps why the promise made to God, Abraham, was made directly, something else he focuses on, where the law was given through a mediator, Moses. So let me conclude by returning to our final verse again. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you belong to Christ this morning, you are Abraham's spiritual descendants. He is the first recorded person in Scripture to know faith in God. That's why he's called the father of the faithful. So this is what I really want you to take away this morning, is the simple truth that you cannot earn your way into heaven. All who try to do good works or obey the law will fail. You can only receive salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. As the Judaizers preached a false gospel, a false gospel is preached today. Know yourself saved by grace alone, faith in Jesus Christ. And there's something I don't want you to take away today, and I haven't touched on this so far, but I don't want to misguide you. You're not under the law, but that is not license to do as you wish. Let me be clear on that. You're not under the law, you're not saved by keeping the law, but you still need to keep the law. We who believe have received the promised Holy Spirit. We are called to live in accordance with the Holy Spirit and not grieve the Spirit that lives within us. We are called to live in submission to the Holy Spirit. Paul makes this clear later in Galatians as this argument develops, chapter 5. He says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You've all heard that, haven't you? But have you heard the next part of that verse? Against such things there is no law. You are free to commit all those qualities and you won't be breaking the law. You'll be honouring your Lord, your Saviour, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, children of God, Abraham's descendants, we have received the promised Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. Let us now look to live in the Spirit, in submission to the Spirit. For that will glorify our Father in heaven, to whom all glory belongs. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing, we're going to worship. Please stand. pray you bless these gifts. May they be used wisely for your glory. Amen. As I do from time to time, I'm just going to give, because you've heard a lot of me this morning, I'm going to just invite you to give short ad lib comments, if that makes sense. So we're going to start off by a time of worshipping and praising and thanking God. So if there's something you want to praise and thank God for this morning, as simple as thank you for loving me, just short and sharp and as loud as you can so others can hear. So let's thank and praise the Lord Almighty. Thank you, Lord, that you are so constant, so dependable, so reliable.
Thank you, Lord, for truth and direction through this world of confusion and loss. Lord, thank you for the truth.
Amen.
Thank you for your grace.
Amen.
Thank you for your strength, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for the birth of a seventh grandchild, great-grandchild. Thank you for the preservation of the life of his mother in a safe delivery.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Peter.
God, we thank you that you heal us and care for us. Thank you for your word. Your word is God.
Thank you, your sister.
Now I just want to pray for a moment for our loved ones who are apart from Christ. So just simply say a name out loud of someone you would like to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Doug.
My brother Wade.
Harvey.
Father, I thank you that you have heard all the names you've said out loud, but also you've heard all the names we've thought of silently in our hearts. And Father, we do pray for those ones. Lord, we pray they would hear the truth, receive the truth, come into the truth, and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And now just a few intercessions. Lord, I lift up the situation in the Middle East, and we've all heard the news overnight of America entering the war. Lord, it's complicated. We know your ways are higher than our ways. So, Lord, I pray your purposes are achieved, Lord. We pray your will is done in the Middle East. And we do pray for innocent people in Israel, in Gaza, in Iran, Lord, that you will watch over them and protect them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, I grieve for our nation, I grieve for our parliament, of what they have agreed this week, both in terms of abortion and assisted dying. Lord, we pray they would turn from these, from what I believe to be deeply wrong, and serve you and serve the nation well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, we pray for all the names on the board this morning. We pray for Kayla with us today. We thank you that she's able to be with us. And we pray for any of us struggling this morning, Lord, here in our midst, known by you, that they would know your blessing and your mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're now going to celebrate Holy Communion. We've got some dark red wine, which has got no alcohol in it. We've got gluten-free wafers. I'm aware of one person who wants a gluten-free wafer. Nobody else. Peter's going to help me, and I'm going to ask Tony to help me as well. So would you both come forward, please? So, if you're fairly new to this church, you're all welcome to come to the altar. You're all welcome to receive bread and wine if you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You're also free to come forward for a blessing. If you just want a blessing, just keep your hands by your side. Father God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, and we thank you that salvation is not earned. Jesus did all the work on the cross, and we thank you that we can receive it by simply putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A ransom for all people, our great mediator. And Father, we thank you that at the resurrection, Jesus Christ achieved such a victory over sin, over death, over Satan. And we thank you that ever since the day of Pentecost, you have been pouring your Holy Spirit on individuals and the church, the true church of Christ. We praise you, Father, that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks once more. And he said this, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." So we offer this bread and this cup. And we do thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you chose the way of the cross so that the judgment that must fall fell on Jesus instead. We pray that when you return, we'll be found ready. And we pray that you, through the Holy Spirit now, Lord, you bless this bread and wine, that it may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us pray now, as we have been taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. For those of you at home on Zoom, the body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ keep you in eternal life.
Thank you.
worship the Lord. Please stand.
Thank you.
say, if you want more prayer, there'll be people over here at the end of the service to pray for you. And we met this morning at 8 o'clock, and there was a sense from Turbot, and we've seen it in some of the songs today, that God really does want to meet with you. And I mean you. God wants to meet with you. He loves you and loves spending time with you. Let me say a closing prayer. Father God, I do pray you bless these people as we go into the world, Lord. May we never be far from you. May you never be far from our thoughts and our prayers. I pray you bless them, Lord, as they go out. Amen.
Amen.
Please stay for refreshments. Chapel's available for prayer. And hope to see most of you next weekend for fun and to learn more about Colossians. God bless you all.